ओम गणतमिनंदस्या जना जना सलकया चक्षु सुमिलतां जैन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोविस्तां स्थापितं जैन भूतले सायं उपगदामयं ददति सर्पनर्तिकम्। पंचकौपथुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुवै च पतितनं पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो। Sukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Prakrit that Putana, having her breast milk drunk by Krishna, was completely purified, and therefore, when they burned her body, the scent of the burning flesh, which is usually not very pleasant, it was very finely scented, very fragrant, like agaru. Now, we'll read some of the comments of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So even though, then Sukadev says that even though, this is an interesting verse, this is the English translation by Srila Prabhupada actually. Putana was always hankering for the blood of human children. So what does that tell us about Putana? That she was horrible, the most sinful. Her desires were those of the lowest of Rakshasis. And with that desire, she came to kill Krishna. But because she offered her breast to the Lord, she attained the greatest achievement. What then is to be said of those who had natural devotion and affection for Krishna as mother and who offered him their breast to suck or something, or offered something very dear as a mother offers something to a child? Here is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. If a person offers service with an attempt to kill the Lord and attains the goal of life, how much more will a person attain who offers with a neutral attitude? What does neutral mean? Not neither friendly nor inimical. So if Putana received this result with offering something with inimical, a terrible attitude, terrible mentality, not at all devotional, but it was completely pratikul. It was against devotional service. And she got that result. How much more wonderful will the result be if someone offers something to Krishna with no enmity, no anger, no hatred, and no devotion? Obviously, it's better. But then, how much more will a person attain who offers with faith? Oh, I'm offering something to the Supreme Lord. And how much more will a person attain who makes an offering with pure bhakti? If a person worships an avatara of the Lord, he will attain the supreme destination. But how much more will a person attain who worships Sri Krishna, the source of all avatars, the Sarva Avatari? He is the source of all avatars. So, as we stand on the yoga ladder at our different stages, we should understand that whatever stage we are at, it is so fortunate if we are making an offering to Krishna. And what we want to do is to increase the devotion of our offering, because Krishna, after all, says, patram pushpam, param tvayam yomam bhakta prayacchati taraham bhakti paritam asnami. I will take it. If someone offers me something with devotion, asnami, I will accept it. Even if it is just a leaf, a flower, a piece of fruit, or some water, if it is offered with devotion, I will accept it. Because Krishna obviously has no need. So this is the mission of our life, is to make offerings to Krishna with devotion. So Sukadeva Goswami continues. If one offers a poisoned breast to Krishna and attains the supreme destination, the spiritual world, how much more will one attain by offering, a more poisonous object? And that doesn't quite make sense. If one offers a dear object, certainly one will attain a higher destination. But if one offers a dearer object, how much more will he attain? And if one offers the dearmost object, he will certainly attain the highest perfection, destination. So the idea is, if just by offering a poisoned breast like Putana did, the supreme destination came, what will be the result if someone offers something dear to oneself to Krishna with devotion? This is dear to me. And this is one of the devotional principles, to offer something dear to Krishna, that one is dear to oneself. And if one offers the most dear thing that one has to Krishna, there's no loss. But it should be done with devotion. It should be done, this is meant to please you. This is meant to please you. Then there's no question of thinking, oh, only if I didn't give this to Krishna, then I would still have it. Because sometimes I've seen that devotees had offered to Prabhupada, we would say, the best years of their life, their youthful years when they had full energy, and then they became discouraged for one reason or another. And then they lamented, oh, what will happen to me now? I've offered the best years of my life. How will I maintain myself? But the idea is that we take the best things that we have, even the best years of our life, and say, this is my offering to you. Please, kindly accept it. But then the question comes, well, then if I become discouraged and I've given the best thing I have, then who will take care of me? I've lost. But will Krishna let us lose? But before you shake your head, no, think for a second and know what it's like on the other side when you've given everything and you're not quite sure he's going to take care of you. But actually, all devotees have experience. Of course, Shastra says, and we hear of how Krishna took care of Putana with her terrible offering. So do we think that Krishna won't take care of us? So there's Shastra. And it is required that we hear Shastra again and again, because the nature of the intelligence and the nature of the mind is to doubt. So it's essential, actually, that we hear Shastra again and again and again. So we hear of Krishna's, the way he takes care of his devotees. And then one could ask the question, but what happens when we hear about Maharaj Prickett? And that, how did he take care of his devotee Maharaj Prickett? He was the king, he had everything. That part is easy to understand, how he was taking care of him. But then he was cursed to die within 7 days. So is that Krishna taking care of him? Okay.
He made him the and when he was about to leave his body, he sent Sukhdev Goswami to see Bhagavatam for him. So that's how he took care of Srila Prasad Maharaj.
And not only that, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that he called him back to him. Oh, actually, that was, it might have been with Chittaketu Maharaj, or when he became Vritrasura. But I think it was actually it was Vritrasura, because Vritrasura as Chittaketu was enjoying life as a Vidyadhara, but he was actually such a great devotee. He was a devotee as a Vidyadhara, and he was chanting the names of the Lord. He was engaged in kirtan, surrounded by devotee matajis. And Krishna, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, was missing him too much. So he said, come to me now. If we can somehow, by the mercy of the Bhagavatam, by the mercy of good association, the mercy of our own advancement, by the mercy of the holy names, if we can just have faith in this point, that I have given myself to Krishna, Gotrapte Varanam Tata, and Krishna is kind, he will take care of me. Somehow or another, he will take care of me. Even though I'm imperfect in a thousand ways, but he will take care of me, and I'm not going to be in anxiety. I'm just going to trust Krishna. And then, if we can be strong in that way, and from my experience, it's easy when everything is going fine, and sometimes it gets quite difficult because the rascal mind tends to give us so much trouble. But for a devotee means one gotripte varanam tata, one who places himself under Krishna's protection. That for a devotee, he lives in the mercy of Krishna. Prabhupada explains this in one of the purports of the Bhagavad Gita. He lives in the mercy of Krishna. And therefore, a devotee can live in this world and be free from anxiety. Tateinu kampam susumakshmano bhunjane vatmakripava pakam vidvagvarapunam dadama namaste jivateyo muktipade sadayava. So that verse tells us the key and the consciousness for living in this world and going back home to Krishna after. But it is so simple to understand, but it is not simple to execute. It is exalted to execute this consciousness. It takes exalted consciousness, because if we simply have the consciousness to seek Krishna in every situation, good or bad, as it seems from the outside, but inside just seeing Krishna, if we have that consciousness alone is sufficient. It's a visa to enter into the abode of Krishna. Now, do I have this consciousness? I'll tell you later about myself. but ask yourself this question, and an easy way to find out is just tomorrow, just watch how you react to everything that happens to you. Watch your mind and see if anger takes over, if frustration takes over sometimes, if envy takes over. Or see if you call out to Krishna in every circumstance and feel yourself fully sheltered by Him. This type of self-examination is very good. And then, if we see that we are lacking in our surrender, in our sharanagati, in our taking shelter of Krishna, I like that ringtone. It's not so bad. It's a little more cowherd boy stuff. It switched off and still it talks. It's special. And then, if we find out that we are not up to the highest standard, then we can understand that we need some special mercy from Krishna. And then we are in the right state of mind to chant Krishna's names. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tulodapi Sisnena. So, if one offers the dearmost object, he will certainly attain the highest destination. This is Sukadev Goswami speaking to Maharaj Prickett. So one interesting thing is he's speaking this to Maharaj Prickett right before Maharaj Prickett is going to leave this world. So what, he's already given up his kingdom. What does he have left? What does he have left? He's sitting there within, now it's the 10th canto. And it's not very much time. He has much less than 7 days left. He's maybe has 5.34 days gone and the remaining left. What can he offer to Krishna now? Why is this going to be encouraging to him or discouraging for Maharaj Prickett if he has nothing to offer? What can he offer? Huh? His mind and his time, especially at this crucial time before he leaves this world. He's offering, that's the most valuable thing that he has. It's the most valuable thing that we all have is our time. It is most precious. We tend not to think of it like that, but Prabhupada often said this. You cannot buy from Chanakya Pandit, one cannot buy back a moment's worth of time with all the gold. We waste time, and so frivolously we sometimes waste time. But Prickett Maharaj, he was not in a frivolous mood. He was about to die, and he was offering. That was his question. That specifically, what was his question? That he asked all the sages in the 19th chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam. He asked the sages. There were so many sages had assembled. What should I do? You are all great sages. Thank you so much for coming. I beg that you will bless me, that I can have the association of devotees and I will have a friendly relationship with all living entities. Actually, what he asked for was so wonderful. And then he said, please tell me, what should I do? My life is running out. What should I do? And when Sukadev goes, and the sages began arguing with each other and disagreeing. But anyway, they were disagreeing and arguing with each other. And then when Sukadev Goswami walked in, they all stood up out of respect and offered him the most cherished seat. And Sukadev first said that this question, what should I do with my time, especially when it is close to my passing away from this world, what should I do with my time? This question is itself glorious. And what did he? What was the conclusion that he eventually told him? He told him, "Etanna vidyamananam isitam akutobayam," that if you want to become fearless, that's tasmad bharat. Yes, harinam anukirtanam. Please. Yes. Hare Namano Kirtanam. Before he said, Shotavyas Martatavyas Cha, He gave three things. You should hear, chant, and remember about Krishna. But the conclusive is you should chant the holy names of Krishna. This is the conclusion. Should hear about Krishna. Unless we hear about Krishna, we won't be able to properly chant. So we should hear about Krishna and we should chant Krishna's name. This is the perfection. Actually, Prabhupada once told me something wonderful. I had the great fortune of sitting next to him on an aeroplane. We were going to Japan from Hong Kong. And someone, before we left, one devotee gave me some really good advice. He said, when you're with Prabhupada, always chant. Just always chant. So I was sitting next to Prabhupada, right next to him. And I was chanting. I chanted Hare Krishna. I chanted every verse I knew, both of them. And I chanted every song I knew. I mean, not only devotee songs. And I was chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting. And Prabhupada was, he seemed happy. And then the person in the seat in front of me, he turned around and said, "Stop that chanting!" And I didn't stop, but I chanted lower. And Prabhupada was just, he would just watch everything go on. He didn't tell me that I should chant or not chant. So I chanted as much as I possibly could the whole time. And then when we were getting up to leave, the first thing Prabhupada did, or right before, as the plane was landing, he put on fresh tilak, so that the devotees, when he would greet the devotees, he would be wearing fresh tilak. And then he said, "Burjan, you have a nice habit of always chanting." And then he said to a servant, Nanda Kumar Prabhu, he said, "You should also get this habit, Nanda Kumar." Of course, it was a very recent habit, and it didn't last so long. But ever since then, I've accepted that this is the goal. This would be the perfection. If I actually had this habit to constantly chant Krishna's names, and I know some devotees who do this so much of the time, when they're walking from here to there, they're just chanting. When they chant and chant in their minds out loud. This is the most wonderful habit. And therefore, Mahaprabhu says, "Kirtaniya sadahari." Just chant Krishna's names constantly. If you're the kind of person who has trouble with your mind, just chant Krishna's names constantly. And if you're the kind of person who has no trouble with your mind, just chant Krishna's names. And if you're somewhere in between, yes, this is the best habit. Who also says this? Yes, who said Srila Rupa Goswami? And where? What book? Upadeshamrita. Yeah, he said this is the best advice. So the time, if we can consciously, with devotion, make an offering to Krishna, in Krishna's service, of our time, not just our body's time, but our consciousness. We should bring our consciousness in when we, whatever our service is, not just with our bodies, but with our consciousness. That yatta pravata bhutanam yena sabam. I'm doing this for you, for your pleasure. How can I do this, whatever it is, from sweeping the floor to whatever? How can I do it in such a way that you will be pleased, my dear Lord? This is my offering to you. Please accept me as your servant. And Krishna says, "Asnami paritam." I will take it. I will accept it if we offer something bhakti paritam with devotion. So If one offers the dearmost object, he will certainly attain the highest destination. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, if Putana, a demonic Rashashi, could attain the highest destination, then what can be attained by a faithful human being? So faith is required. Adol Shraddha. If one is a devotee, this is more than faith, how much more will he attain? And will not a pure devotee of the Lord attain the highest award? Then what to speak of the elderly gopis who had extreme affection for the Lord during the stealing of the calves by Lord Brahma? Paying respects to Mother Yasoda from a distance, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, I have placed her in the highest position. Therefore, I will write no more, because her love for Krishna is beyond words. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving us a progression of what love is. At first, there's just offering something to Krishna. Whatever your mood is, just make some offering. Just chant Hare Krishna. And then, if someone has some faith, that's better. And then if someone is a devotee, still better. And if someone's a pure devotee, still better. And better than that, if someone actually has affection for Krishna. And then there's the elderly gopis who had so much affection for Krishna that Krishna came and accepted their milk and their cooking and the cows. And the cows, Krishna became a calf. And what do the cows always do to their calves? They're always licking them. And the cows are so affectionate. They're just always so affectionate to each other. They fight sometimes too, yes. But they're always giving... I wonder if there's something that's tasty in their fur or something, because they're always licking each other. They're so affectionate. And how demonic it is to say they have no souls. That's how even the members of other religions, they say that animals don't have souls. Now what's the difference between how the cow is acting and how any mother is acting? That doesn't make any sense. They say it's just instinct. How is that an answer? It's just mechanical to show affection. Affection? Mechanical? It's just wired in to your DNA or something? And what's driving it? What's the difference between a live animal and a dead animal? There's no affection coming out of a dead animal or a dead human being. It's gone. The soul is gone. This simple knowledge, which is the ABC of the Bhagavad Gita, it's not spoken anywhere else. Quite amazingly. In the different religions of the world, very blurry. Very blurry is what is the life, what is the soul. Very blurry. Not clear, like Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. What verse does he explain it in? In the Bhagavad Gita. Nahanyate, hanyamane, shariyade. What other verse? Yeah, say it. Dhiras tatra. The sober person, dhira. What is the opposite of sober?
Adhira.
Okay, in English? What is someone is sober, and if what's the opposite of being sober? Huh? No? Yes, intoxicated. Intoxicated, one would say. Sober person sees things accurately, an intoxicated person does not see things properly. Sees them in an illusory, false way. So the cows in Vrindavan loved Krishna so much, they would, the cows of Vrindavan loved Krishna so much, and Krishna would call them by their names. What's the name of one of Krishna's cows? Huh? Hungshi, another one? Pingalish?
Shama?
Shama? What other names? Huh? Davali. Hey, Davali. Oh, Pingali. Pingali is the sputtered ones, yes? Madanga Muki, head shaped like a madanga. Like that. And they were put into different groups, and Krishna would count them on his, what is it called? Not the beads, but out of jewels they were made, called a manimala, with 108 groups, and he would have them all grouped and well organized, and as they would come in, he would count to make sure all the cows were there, because Krishna loved the cows. Actually loved them, not exploited them. He loved the cows. The members of the cowherd community loved their cows. Krishna loved the cows. I have one joke that I'll tell you. But maybe it's not so funny, but that manimala that Krishna used to count the cows was the first calculator. Calculator. It's funnier, maybe. Not so funny, okay. First calculator. A little funny. Ha ha. Everything comes from Krishna. Sanmadhyasyata. So the cow, Krishna loved the cows. He would call them by name, and they would be late. Sometimes they'd wander away, and he would play his flute, and they would come when he was out herding the boys, the cows, with his friends. And he loved the cows, and the cows loved him so much. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur paid so much respect to Mother Yashoda, whose Shuddha Vatsalya Prem was so exceptional and so wonderful. But he says her love is beyond words. I cannot describe her love. The Supreme, Sukadeva then says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always situated within the core of the heart of the pure devotee. And he is always offered prayers by such worshipful personalities as Brahma and Lord Shiva. And because Krishna embraced Putana's body with great pleasure and sucked her breast, although she was a great witch, she attained the position of mother in the transcendental world and thus achieved the highest perfection. What then is to be said of the cows whose nipples Krishna sucked with great pleasure and who offered their milk very jubilantly with affection, exactly like of a mother? So Vishwanath said, these two verses describe the greatness of Putana's attainment through the mercy of the Lord. Even though Putana was a Rakshasi, her body was stepped upon by Krishna's feet, which are situated in the hearts of the devotees. And worshipped by those worthy of worship, the devatas. Putana's breast milk was drunk by Krishna, and she attained the supreme abode as a mother of the Lord. Krishna's feet, bhakta riddhi stabhyam. Krishna's feet are situated only in the hearts of the devotees. But Putana was neither a devotee nor a non-devotee. She was an enemy of Krishna. She wasn't neutral. Vandabhyam lokavandita. Krishna's lotus feet are worshipped by worshipful personalities such as Brahma and Shiva. But Putana did not worship Krishna's feet. Rather, she did the opposite. At the time of her death, Putana tried to push Krishna from her chest. She tried to dislodge Krishna's feet from her chest. And unable to do so, she began to beat them with all her strength. So this makes it even more wonderful how Krishna rewarded her. The great devotees keep Krishna's feet in their heart, and Putana was not a devotee, she was an enemy of Krishna. And she was trying to remove the feet of Krishna. Krishna stepped on Putana forcefully with his feet, not even just touching her. Where did Putana go at the time of her death? This is because the word used in the Sanskrit word is swagam. She attained Vaikuntha. The word used where she attained was swaga, and Vishwanath said she attains Vaikuntha. This is explained in the Bhagavatam in the 7th chapter, which is the 6th chapter, and the next chapter is about Trinavarta. This is explained, the first verse of the 7th chapter. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the other planetary rulers are playing to live in Vaikuntha. Lord Brahma says in Srimad Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, which is his prayers, Putana attained you along with her family members. According to these two verses, the word swaga must mean sva-vasham, your personal abode, or Vaikuntha. The word does not refer to the material heavenly planet called swaga. Sva-vasham, your place where you live, sva-vasa. And another word he explained, janani gatim. She attained the destination, Putin attained the destination of a mother. Which Vaikuntha planet did Putana attain? The verse explains that Putana attained the same planet as Mother Yashoda. Janani Gatim, the same destination as the mother. Therefore, Putana attained Golok, but her position was predominated by happiness and reverence. She did not attain the place predominated by service in prema. One cannot say she attained the status of a mother. Verse 10:636 says that place is reserved for those who are anuragi, those who have pure loving attachment for Krishna. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is explaining some fine distinctions to say where she attained and where she could not attain. Because if we hear that she attained the exact same position as Mother Yasoda, we may think, well, why should I become a devotee? It's much more natural for me to be a Rakshasa. And that way, if I just attack Krishna enough, then I'll attain some very high destination. But yes, Krishna is merciful, but he is most merciful to those who love him, who serve him with the greatest devotion, like the residents of Braja. Most unequally merciful to them. He is captured by them. He remains forever in their debt. Na pariye hum. So Vishwanath continues, explaining that those who attain, who are anuragi, who have pure loving attachment for Krishna. Here verse 38 says that the cows and motherly gopis who fed milk to Krishna during the Brahmavimohana Lila attained a higher destination than Putana. How could Putana, whose envy of Krishna, whose enmity with Krishna was equal to Kamsa's, though she imitated the dress and emotion of a gopi, how could she attain the same status as Yashoda? And therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura is just offering his respects. He's not to Mother Yashoda, and not going to even attempt to describe the glories of her position. Therefore, Uddhav says in Bhagavatam 3.2.23, Lebhegatam datri chitam tato nyam. Putana attained a status, a position like a nurse. Thus in the present verse, some interpret the word janani to be datri, or nurse, mother to nurse. But even then, one should not say that Putana was a direct nurse of Krishna. Rather, she attained a form like a nurse in Golok, filled with Sukha Aishwarya, reverential happiness. So such our acharyas are so kindly given us these fine and wonderful distinctions. So just let me read just one last part. When Nanda Maharaj returned and he heard about what had happened, he just took Krishna upon his lap, thinking, and this is the verse of Sukadeva, like Krishna had returned from death. After all, a little baby was attacked by such a powerful, huge witch who is so huge. So he, as we heard that Prabhupada say, Krishna Bhakti was smelling his son's head, and Nanda Maharaj was experiencing great bliss to have Krishna safely sitting upon his lap. And Vishwanath said, he began to criticize Nanda Maharaj. He began to lament, so much misfortune had occurred in my absence. Why did I go to Mathura? And he began criticizing everyone's intelligence. How could the dull doorkeepers not prevent anyone from entering the house? And then finally, because he was just, this was his ecstatic mood. There was not criticism born of tamagun, the mode of ignorance, but in his ecstasy of love for Krishna, this was his mood. And then finally, the last verse was, as that we heard and were very enlivened by, any person who hears with faith and devotion about how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, killed Putana, Putana Moksham, Ya Etad Putana Moksham, the liberation of Putana, and who thus invests his hearing in such childhood pastimes of Krishna, he certainly attains attachment for Govinda, the Supreme Original Person. Attachment to Krishna. This is our goal. Vishwanath said, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his comment is, anyone who faithfully hears the childhood pastimes of Krishna and the liberation of Putana and accepts them as most astonishing. Why is it astonishing? How kind Krishna was in reciprocating with her nasty attempt to kill him. He will attain an attraction for Govinda. It is natural because we hear of the tenderness and the kindness of Krishna's heart. Who would, and his power too. But his kindness, his sometimes power makes people proud. But Krishna is never proud. He's fully kind and liberal and generous and compassionate. So such a person attains attraction for Govinda. And Vishwanath says, an alternative reading for the word Srinuyat hears is Nishamya, hearing. Taking that reading, the meaning becomes anyone who hears the childhood pastimes of Krishna and the liberation of Putana with faith will attain attraction to Govinda and everything related to Govinda. Tadiyam Samacharam. Okay, we shall end here. Now we have to rush to see our beloved lords. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Somehow or another, I have a commitment to go to Mumbai, so I won't be here next week, but Krishna willing, we'll continue next Monday. Should we have a japa class on Monday, or we'll start with both? Okay. Now you have to explain how. No. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ki Jai. Putana Moksha Ki Jai.